Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Like the show? Then tell a friend. Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Second and five at the Buffalo 22. It's a 14-6 Bills lead. The snap. It is Harris again. This time first straight up the middle. Breaks a tackle. Gets by a man. Cruises into the end zone. Touchdown, New England. A 22-yard run by Damian Harris, their third-round pick a year ago.
I do believe that was John Murphy on the Bills radio network you just heard right there. He was a longtime color analyst. Slid over to be the play-by-play guy. Not very common. Into hour two of Gresh and Keefe. 11:06 is the time. Good morning to all the network affiliates down in Providence and the Cape and Worcester and Springfield and Keene, New Hampshire, and of course up in Maine. Hopefully everybody came through all of the bad weather over the weekend that, at least for me, I was able to dodge on the whole.
Yes.
A little worried about the basement a little bit because it's
so much. Oh, yeah, did you flood out a little bit?
No, it's not.
Pouring cats and dogs.
Well, that's the thing is when we put in the pool, we changed the grade of the backyard.
Okay.
So I didn't realize some of the issues that could come with that. So I've almost flex sealed it all the way up. Between that and my buddy Dave Mossman at Crack X and Flex Seal, we're kind of okay there in terms of like pools in one area. And I had a weeping cold joint.
Oh, jeez. So my neighbor used to, his backyard used to flood. Like it would basically be like a pond was what it would turn into.
Oh.
So then he did some work to it and like raised it a little bit. So now.
It all runs in the basement.
No,
the house.
It goes to me, but it like thankfully
it's
in like it's in like the corner of like, so it's not like that bad, but now that fills up. And then I got a great dehumidifier at home that doesn't shut off when it's full. So you got to check it, and if you don't check it, then it's just like you flood your own house.
Doesn't sound like it's a great humidifier.
No, it's not. Yeah. No, but it fills up quick, so that's good. But if you don't check it, it doesn't have the auto shut off anymore.
We had a sump pump, and the power went out, so sump pump stopped working.
Right.
And that was 5 hours of flooding and me hauling buckets of water up and down the steps. Needless to say,
it gets battery real wet out there.
It is battery power backup now that will last 7 hours because I ain't going through that crap again.
No, sir.
Will Damian Harris be flooding the end zone with touchdowns this year? I do believe you and the Gare Bear got into this a little bit on Friday, maybe, amidst you losing trivia to
I did lose trivia to Gary.
Yeah, I heard
movie
about
trivia.
This.
Well, he is an actor. He's a paid actor.
Well, that he is.
It makes a lot of sense. But Damian Harris, and we're going to do a ton of fantasy football throughout the NFL season, but it's never too early to take a look at it.
No, it isn't.
And I think Damian Harris right now is one of the, first of all, as a Bill Belichick running back, it's a little dicey. Like, you just don't know what the role is going to be week to week. And I also think, as of right now, Cam Newton is the starting quarterback. That could change.
Correct.
But right now, he is. And I think when your quarterback could probably have 8 to 10 rushing touchdowns, you're taking away 8 to 10 from the next guy. So I feel like Damian Harris's value is probably not super high because of Cam Newton and role concerns. But I think individually, a lot of us are predicting pretty good year. Like if he had 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns, pretty good. You would sign up for that.
Bigger issue for Damian Harris, is it Cam or is it Sony actually putting it together this year and having the kind of year that some have been waiting for him to have?
I think that's another factor, obviously. It's not just the role, like, you know, how do Belichick and McDaniels use him, but it's, oh, this is, you know, we're going to start splitting series with Sony Michel. Well, now all of a sudden that's not worth a guy drafting the first couple of rounds if he's sharing the workload back there. And then with Cam Newton, and then obviously, you know, James White's still on the team for some of the passing situations. Mm-hmm. So some of these other running backs are just going to be used in a lot more roles, or a lot more, way more touches than Damien Harris would get.
Yeah, we'll get into which running back might be money coming up, but first.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
Speaking of money, here's your chance to win some money. This hour's code word is BEAM, B-E-A-M. Text BEAM to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. BEAM, B-E-A-M, to 72881. Take us wherever you go on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, your routine is changing. You can ask your smart speaker to play WEEI. So I think there's a couple of things at play here. One, new offense. And even if it isn't new offense, it's sort of repurposed offense because of the tight ends. Then there's the 17-game season. And to me, in evaluating the running backs, that's a real wild card. Because let's say on the top end of the scale, right? Is Christian McCaffrey going to play 17 games this year?
I went through that last year. I would not bet on that.
How about Dalvin Cook? Is that guy going to get 400 carries if he plays 17 games?
I mean, to be fair to McCaffrey, too, by the way, I mean, last season was a injury. The two seasons before that, he played every game.
I know, but he still scares me. He's so little.
The issue with him, though, is he plays 97% of Carolina's offensive snaps.
And there
they
go.
Give him the ball every time. Like, it's great in fantasy, and then all of a sudden he's gone.
But he's the kind of guy who, you're right, you'd love to have him in fantasy if you could guarantee the guy's going to stay healthy.
Right.
The problem is, this year, if they use him, if they use him as much as they did, you throw in a 17th game,
mm-hmm.
he's pushing 400 touches by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah.
On a bad team.
And that's the thing, is even though he has played, like Sean was saying, like early in his career, you're like, all right, is this sort of the beginning? Is this sort of where, all right, because they put all of their attention on him, and as they should, and that's just so many hits that this guy takes. So, I mean, you still have to take him first. I think
there's no.
I mean, I
look,
would.
You have to, but you feel better about someone like Derrick Henry getting through the rigors of a 17 game season because you got to figure they're going to spell him too. Like Vrabel isn't so stubborn, I don't think, that he would still say, 30 times 17. Oh yeah, that math works out. We'll give this guy 500 carries. Like. It doesn't compute. So I think the 17-game season is something that we have to take into account and why that at least in a consensus. So I got three magazines in front of me. I got Lindy's, I got Athlon, footballdiehards.com.
Well, I have my rankings ready. Don't worry.
These magazines I bought are really for Shime's birthday today.
Yep.
So I will leave
what
these magazines
for
Happy
him.
Birthday, Shime.
Hey, listen. These things are like $10 a whack.
Oh, there's a lot of info in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
you pay the research department.
Exactly. Yeah.
Guys on the old 22.
I know one of those people who puts together stuff in the research department, and he should not be paid. He gets paid in beer. My buddy Scott Grambling. Anyway.
Not bad.
So one magazine has Damien Harris as the 34th ranked running back in fantasy. There's another that has him, Lindy's, at 34th in the rankings. And Football Diehards has Damien Harris as the 32nd ranked running back.
So
a little bit of what you said in terms of what will the roles be. But I know two of the projections have Harris getting 1,100 yards.
Yeah,
and
so
yet he's 32 or 34 in the rankings.
So that must just be afraid of, you know, maybe he's not getting as many touchdowns. I think if you know that it's Mac Jones, I think you would feel like Harris is going to score more touchdowns. Because they're not going to run the same stuff goal line with Mac as they would with Cam.
Agreed.
So I think you'd feel a little bit better about that. I still think, and again, I know there's a lot of the daily leagues are really popular. But if you're in a year-long league and there are 12 teams and everybody is starting at minimum two running backs, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have the flex. Harris, to me, is somebody that's starting every single week because more than 24 running backs would start, right? Because let's say half the teams throw in a flex. So now you're getting up to 30, 32, 36 teams, whatever, are using a running back. He's always going to be in there because at the end of the year, how many guys are even going to have 1,000 yards? It's not a ton.
I don't.
It
yeah,
really isn't.
We'll probably max out of what, 10?
I bet it's something like that.
Right.
It falls off pretty quick.
And that's if guys stay healthy. You know,
only
that's
eight running backs last year had 1,000 yards.
Eight.
And again, the 17th game, that changed things, and maybe that jumps it to 10. But if you're telling me he's one of the 10 or 11 running backs that gets 1,000 yards on the ground, he should probably be a little bit higher than 34th.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Because it's a great offensive line, and I still feel, regardless of who the quarterback is, it's not going to be a great passing offense. So the running backs are going to be really important.
So Athlon has Damian Harris projected 860 yards and a combined 7 touchdowns. Now,
that's not bad.
FootballDiehards.com has Damian Harris at 1,125 yards rushing, but only 3 touchdowns. So, I mean, what a difference.
So 1,120 yards rushing would have been 4th in the league last year.
In the league last year, right.
So, I mean, that guy, like, Sean, in a standard draft, not an auction draft, but in the old snake draft, was he like a 3rd-round pick?
Damian Harris? No, I think he goes a little later. Like, I have him as the 23rd-ranked running back.
NFL.com has his ADP at 147 right now.
That's insane.
So that's like if you're in a 12-man league, that's, 12th round.
So he's not going to – well, first of all, around here he won't last the 12th round.
Yeah,
if you're in New England, like half my league
they'll pick the 5th wide receiver, the 7th round.
I feel like that's like a – he's got to be like a 7th or 8th round pick.
I feel like it could be higher than that because isn't he – is he right now the starting running back?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm drafting him higher than the starting running backs that are in the 7th or 8th round. Like, that's kind of rare.
But I mean, there's 32 starting running backs.
Wait, what?
There's 32 starting running backs.
No, I know.
And a team like the Browns have 2 of them.
Well, and that's the thing. Most teams don't, like, they have a starter, but it's kind of week to week. Like, if Damian Harris started week 1 and Sony started week 2 because of whatever personnel package, it's not an indictment necessarily on either guy because they're both worthy of starting.
But I bet.
So to the point, you probably have 50 starters at running back now because of all the different matchups. Alvin Kamara is not starting at running back every week. Sometimes they might have him lined up in the slot as a receiver and some other running back would be in there.
But I bet every starting, running back is probably gone in the first 5 or 6 rounds.
Just about.
What do you think?
But like a lot of people aren't gonna want to draft a guy like Myles Gaskin, who right now is slated to get almost all of Miami's touches. Like the only guy competing with him is Malcolm Brown, and that's more so just red zone opportunities that he's gonna be competing with him with.
Yeah.
So like in an offense like that, like you're looking for guys who have an opportunity to just get a crap load of touches. A guy like Myles Gaskin is probably way more valuable than Damian Harris because Damian Harris is gonna get poached in the red zone by Cam Newton, and there's gonna be a rotation of running backs between him, James White, and Sony Michel.
So to your point, Shime, Austin Eckler is ranked in the top 12 of all, right? But that's the kind of guy you're talking about.
He catches so many passes.
Well, but if you look at Eckler's numbers, right? Yes, he does catch
that's
a lot
thing.
Of passes.
And if you're in a PPR league, Eckler's value is pretty high.
But his forecast is 739 rushing yards, and they've got him for 75 catches projected
that's
this
the thing.
Year
that's it.
On only 561 yards. Like,
but so now you combine him, and now he's a 1,200 yard guy. How many touchdowns do they project him at? Like he is
4.
That's it?
Total? That's it. Oh, he hit 3 last year. He went from low. 11 to 3.
But he catches only played that up 10 quick. Games last year too,
right.
though.
Yeah. He catches that up pretty quick though for him.
He had 54 catches last year. But that's a guy that you look at and say, okay, if I miss on an Eckler where there's a projection there and you come back around and you wait 2 rounds,
I feel like,
and Damian Harris is sitting there, you still got to feel halfway decent.
If Harris is my second running back, I think I feel pretty good about it.
See, I think you're only okay with it if he's like your flex.
Mm.
I don't want him as my second running back. There's so many
better
running backs.
The thing about
backs.
Me is I go receiver, 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 receiver. To
and
start
that's
my
your
draft
issue
normally.
Because there's so many more receivers than there are running backs.
I need to alter my strategy, okay?
A little
it has
bit.
Not worked the last
tweak
couple
it a
of
little
years.
Bit.
Well, let's just work an exercise here quickly. And we're trying to figure out not only like the role for Damian Harris, but also in terms of where he fits in terms of running backs in the NFL. So I'm looking at, Sean, I got one magazine here that says Mike Davis of Atlanta
over Damian Harris.
Is ranked 23rd yes. over Damian Harris.
Yeah, I'd rather have Mike Davis.
Because Mike, I mean, look at what
but
Mike
they
Davis.
Stink.
Yeah, but Mike
doesn't
Davis
matter.
Last
Fans
year
football.
On a crappy Panthers
yeah,
team was 75% of Christian McCaffrey. And if you're 75% of Christian McCaffrey, you're one of the top 10 running backs in fantasy in terms of fantasy in the league.
No, no, mm-hmm. I want Mike Davis too. But Sean, a couple of guys to me that looking at this list that are ahead of
Miles
Damian Harris.
Sanders.
Yep.
So Kenyon Drake is listed ahead of him.
So I don't know about that. I don't have
Harris.
So because the issue now is Kenyon Drake's on an Oakland team with Josh Jacobs.
That's what I'm saying.
And so like Josh Jacobs was one of the 1,000-yard rushers last year. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Drake had 900 yards. Like how is that going to work? Especially with
That's
Derek
what I'm
Carr.
Saying.
Like they're going to throw the football.
Like how can both Arizona running backs, Chase Edmonds and James Conner, both
yeah.
be ranked ahead of Damian Harris?
See, I have Chase
Edmonds
ahead
the ball.
Because he catches the ball.
Yeah.
I do not have James Conner ahead.
So I would not have Conner was so bad last year, and I don't think so. Even like a Ronald Jones, I'd rather have Damian Harris.
Michael
yes,
Carter
agreed.
Of the Jets has a better fantasy ranking in three magazines than Damian Harris.
No. See, I'm not
gonna go I don't draft Jets players. I'm
and,
out.
Like outside of what I guess Chubb and Hunt in Cleveland, like that's one where I don't care that there's two guys. They use them both a ton. They're both going to put up big numbers.
Right.
Once you're just talking about guys that are like splitting, at that point, I'll go with Harris. Even though I understand there's the chance. Like I think he should leave Sony Michel in the dust. Like he should. I think Damian Harris by, you know, middle of the season is going to be the clear-cut guy. And could he get close to 20 touches a game? I think that's what you're kind of hoping for. Can he get between 15 and 20 touches? I think so.
I think between
Don't you think they're going to be close to a 50-50 run pass team, which most teams in the league are not.
I would think so. Yeah. I do think there is a little bit of the feel with the Patriots in
that.
They have two backs that are worthy of starting, so if they want to turn around and hand it 20 to Sony and 20 to Harris, you would hope they're good enough that both of those guys could sustain it and combine, give you 200 yards rushing and a couple of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So I do think there will be some feel in terms of how they make this offense work. And whether the kid is in there or not is going to go a long way to, at least I think, determining that. Because here's what I envision. And I don't know, maybe y'all think I might be nuts. And that's where you can get in on the old 3T, Twitch, Twitter, and text. Hit us up on the text, 37937 on Twitter, at Gresh Keefe, and of course for you Twitchers in the old Twitch chat. In that, I think it's going to be a lot of quarterback goes to the line of scrimmage. Are we going left or right?
Mm-hmm.
There we go, and boom, and you're just calling it on the fly, and that's how you're going to determine a lot of your running game. And I do think that Harris probably gets the first crack
right.
in most games to set the tone of if we're running the ball, he gets rolling, then, you know, Sony's going to get in there. Look, I could see Harris at 60% of the carries and Sony at 40.
I think the big thing that'll help separate them is when they try to throw him the ball. And I know Cam Newton's not great at the short stuff.
Right.
But if they try to throw him the ball, if he can do that, I think they would love it. Because for so many years, it was Sony's out there, it's a running play. James White's out there, it's a pass play. And it was just way too predictable.
And they tried to start to throw it to Sony a little bit, and Cam couldn't do it.
Couldn't
right.
do it. And then even Sony, like the last year with Brady, he couldn't do it either. Like there were just too many times, like, wait a minute, this guy caught passes in college fine. Why
and,
is he
and
just
Brady
so lost?
Didn't, Brady didn't trust him.
And then
him
he didn't at all.
Because of the running backs, that's why it right. was, oh, we'll just go to White.
So if Harris can do that a little bit, then like, okay, keep him on the field more. And so I think he has an opportunity. I think they're going to try that. And again, maybe it'll be Cam that lets him down, or maybe he can't do it. I don't know. But if he can be as close to a three-down back as possible, then that only raises his value.
Now, I know that Najee Harris, highly thought of,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But his ranking, at least the one that I'm looking at 13, that's dependent on the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line not sucking,
yeah,
and they're going to suck this year.
But he's also just going to get every touch out of the backfield. There's literally no one to compete with him.
Yeah, but isn't that what they said about Connor last year?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but Connor was hurt.
Yeah, he was awful.
And like in the O-line, but again, like I look at that O-line, and I'm you could have McCaffrey on the Steelers right now. He would have a down year because that line stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the plethora of opportunity, though, that he's going to get alone puts him in the top 15.
Well, that's
like,
what...
That's my thing. Like, I have him at touches. 16, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And it's specifically... The only reason he's that low for me is because of the offensive line.
But
he's going to get every touch imaginable.
I agree he's going to get every touch. But by week six, you're going to be like, nah, I need somebody who can produce.
Right.
Because that's...
3 yards a carry.
Because that's the thing. And, you know, and again, where there's the real-life application of using these players. Mm-hmm. And then there's from the fantasy standpoint, you wake up and go, oh, crap, I'm screwed here in week five. Mm-hmm. How do I find a way to turn and pivot? And like for me, I think Najee Harris can have a great career. I think he'll be much better in year three when that offensive line looks more of what it has in the past, because right now it's just a bunch of young guys. But like right. Miles Gaskin with Miami is ranked in the top 25 for a lot of people.
I think he's going to get the ball a lot. Yeah.
Well, and it's, I know. He had 41 catches last year is really what did it. But
I'm not sold on Miami either. And by the way, going back to the 1,000-yard rushers, as Shyam said, there was 9 of them, but Lamar Jackson was one of them. So there's
so really
only
8
running backs hit that 1,000-yard threshold. And even with the extra game, more guys will get there. But I don't know. I think it's a reasonable expectation. I think Damian Harris is one of those guys.
I'm kind of with you. And I do think that the drafting of running backs in fantasy will be very interesting mm-hmm. this year, because my thought is a little like yours. If I can get 2 high-end receivers, I'll find a third who will get 50 catches as a flex or something like that.
Yeah, there's more receivers out there.
But with the running backs, you need to layer up. Mm-hmm. Like if you can draft both Sony and Harris, I think you might have something, cuz I think this is going to be a top 8 rushing team.
Yeah,
they have no choice.
I agree. They're going to run a lot.
Coming up, we will get to my weekend. By the way, just quickly,
yes.
I only want to leave this out here. Why is there so much intrigue about what Matt Patricia is going to do during the season? Is there, or am I just misreading it? Like the whole, what is his role? Are we really fascinated with what?
I guess you just hope that there's not too much responsibility.
Chumble Stillskin will be doing
looking
there?
Back, we're looking forward.
Yeah, you're kind of hoping that he doesn't have to do much.
So your worry is that week 7, here's our defensive coordinator officially, and it's Matt Patricia.
Yeah, I don't like that. Or
do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process every day. Mm.
So like, you lost Nick Caserio, you lost Ernie Adams, and Matt Patricia's back. So you're like, is he one or both of those guys? I hope not.
And we'll find out during the year. Uh-huh. By the way, it is Shime's birthday today. Make sure you send him love.
Happy birthday, Shime.
Hit him up on Twitter at ShimeTime. I'm sure all the Twitchers, now that they can hear us mm-hmm. after the snafu early on, are now finding out that it's Shime's birthday. And you can always send in your birthday love via text 37937. Now time to trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Online or over the air, we don't care. Just make us your new midday habit. Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of round number one, Herb Dean has called a stop to this contest based on a doctor's stoppage, declaring the winner by TKO, Dustin the Diamond Warrior.
That's what it sounded like Saturday night at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. An amazing event to go to. You know who's over, brother? Herb Dean.
Herb Dean.
In that arena.
They're like Herb Dean, huh?
Every time Michael Buffer would get to, your referee, everybody would just go, Herb Dean. It's amazing how.
Big John never should have left.
Nah, Big John's doing Bellator now.
Never should have left.
They had
Dan Mergliotta.
Dan Mergliotta was, he was
big
there.
Fella.
I don't remember him having, I know he was there as one of the sort of like officials when they start to, you know, to get everybody before they go into the octagon or whatnot. Jason Herzog, the guy who uncomfortably like he rubs his hands together uncomfortably. It's nice. And he's got the gloves on and doing it too. It's very odd. So Conor McGregor broke his leg at the end of round one of his fight with Dustin Poirier. And I know that you and I kind of talked about this a little bit on the off-air show. So a couple of things from that event. Number one, the local kid, Chris Moutinho, he took 200 punches from Sean O'Malley, right?
Yeah.
But he ended up being in the fight of the night. Got a $75,000 bonus.
So you get another fight.
This guy was working 80 hours a week in a paint factory, got his face smashed in. Not only did he get the 75K, O'Malley gassed out. People in the stands were like, oh my God, he might get popped because he was visibly winded.
Yeah, yeah. He'll rope-a-dope.
It was amazing. but
he'll get another fight, though, because all Dana cares about is that if you put on an entertaining fight, keep going.
He took a beating. Yep. At the end of round one, it was more of a, wow, he made it through a round. At the end of round two, it was like, holy F, this guy's tough.
Yeah.
And even when he lost, people were like cheering the guy when he left. So good for Moutinho. Mm-hmm. Tied to Tuivasa in the heavy. Now, he knocked out Greg Hardy.
I mean, talk about heavyweight.
Now, you want to
this
talk.
This guy.
He's a skinny. He's, hold on.
No, he's not. A
no,
skinny?
He's a, hold on.
You see this guy?
He's a skinny fat.
No.
He's 263. He's a little jiggly.
A little jiggly?
He's not a skinny fat.
There's not a muscle on him that you can see. You can't find a muscle. And I love it. Don't get me wrong. This guy, great for the sport. They need guys like this. They don't need everybody that's just shredded. Like, remember when Brock Lesnar had to cut down to 265?
Like Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy had to cut to 260. I think he got to 264 and a half.
And he got smoked by a guy that you'd run into at the bar.
Tuivasa, first of all.
He was probably at the buffet with you guys afterwards. This guy's
the
man.
That's a good line. The buffets aren't open yet, I looked. It was very devastating. So Tuivasa comes out to the Spice Girls.
Incredible.
And then by the way, Greg Hardy, talk about universal booze. Everybody hates that guy.
Yes.
They loved it when he got knocked out.
In a minute.
And then Tuivasa jumped up, got on the edge of the octagon, poured a beer in a shoe, and downed it.
I've never seen anything that great in my life.
Which, of course, led to seven dumbasses in the stands. So, you know, there's always, I will make fun of at times, the silver-haired guy at Gillette who just yells into the crowd, come on, come on, come on, where are we going? Where are we coming out?
Now we're going to the fourth quarter.
Right, where are we going?
Put the fours
up. Right?
Yeah, that guy's great.
So, of course, that led to seven drunken idiots in different sections.
Drinking a beer out of a shoe.
Who went all the way down to the section.
A $12 beer out of their shoe.
A $12 beer, god dang it.
Not worth it to me.
So, of course, there's a guy a section over, and, you know, my kids are like, oh, look at that idiot over there, right? My wife's doing the video. But, of course, it's, you know, Dum Dum Jones, who's liquored up, who's trying to get the whole section
to look at him
and drink beer out of a sneaker.
I love this guy, though.
Shut up. I pay that guy the finger. Sorry if that went out over Twitch.
He looks a little bit like a professional wrestler, like some of the, like an Tui old Vasa. School, a little bit, but a lot like a manatee.
He looks like the High Chief Peter Maivia, the Rock's grandfather.
Yes.
Because he's got the middle and like lower leg tattoos. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But this guy
was awesome.
Beat the snot out of Greg Hardy. It couldn't have been a better guy beating a worse guy and then celebrating the way that he did was awesome.
Now, for those of you that are really into the gore of UFC,
Jessica
got her forehead split open, and in the arena, they got it to the point to where they're in commercial break on ESPN Plus, and they're in the arena and they wiped down her face, and the cameraman zoomed in and you could see her skull. She was ripped open so much, you could see her bone skull right there.
I think she needed 50 stitches, they said, something like that.
People there were like, they're going to have to staple that shut because it was huge.
It looked like you would, like when you were at an arcade and you would put coins in to play a game.
That's a great analogy.
That's what it looked like. It was disgusting.
It was awesome.
She's lost a ton of fights in a row.
Yeah.
She's kind of a mess.
Yeah, the ladies' divisions are interesting, to say the least. But going to that fight and the feel of it was something I've experienced. Now, I've always wanted to go to, like, the big-time heavyweight fight. Like, I always wanted to go to a Tyson fight, something like that. Yeah.
This Conor McGregor fight's probably the closest thing you got to it now.
Honest to God, Keith, like, when the guy, that when his music started playing,
right,
it was like when the music would start to play for The Rock at WWE at WrestleMania, and then when they come out, the place erupts.
Yeah.
That's what it was with Conor McGregor walking down the aisle. It had that kind of, and they had him come out first, by the way.
Well, he's not the champ, right?
I guess neither
is Poirier either, so it's not really a championship fight.
So,
but I guess
for those who could see, so they gave us these little wristwatch things that I'm kind of holding up so the Twitchers can see, right?
Oh, that's what you wore to get in there?
No, what it is once you got in, they gave you this little watch, and it would light up. So when they went to the pay-per-view, all of these, everybody had them on. It was blinking yellow while they were sort of playing the open. With McGregor, they had, I think it was green and white and orange, or they had like the colors of the Irish flag and stuff like that. So they tried to do like a little, I don't know, rave thing or whatever. It looked really cool because the building was completely packed.
Yeah.
Those
are called Xylo bands.
Oh, they really?
And they were,
oh, thank you.
The technology was invented by Coldplay, the band.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
Go. Yep. Never mind. What a shock.
What are we doing?
Back to wrestling.
Yeah, right.
This
back
is so
to
bad.
Back to UFC,
mixed
not
martial
wrestling.
Arts.
Sorry.
Because I was at, God, was I at both? So Conor McGregor had two fights in Boston. This was early in his career, too. And it was like the Bruins just scored a goal in a playoff game.
Crazy.
Or the Celtics had a comeback. Like, it was that kind of. So it seems like he has a bunch of places that are like his. Like, he's had so many Vegas fights.
Tons.
Obviously, if he has anything in Ireland and then in Boston, he is by far, even with the recent losses.
He's a worldwide star.
Yeah. And he's the biggest star I think that the sport has ever had. And I know some people would want to like romanticize the old guys or be like, what about like Chuck Liddell? It's like, no. The amount of money that Conor McGregor makes, even at these lighter weight classes.
Yeah.
And he's been in, what, three different weight classes?
Two-time champ in two different weight classes. Yeah.
But the way that he can talk, the way that he backs it up, I think one of his problems is he hasn't had, and he even had to kind of go up to fight Nate Diaz to get another guy that could kind of talk with him.
That's right.
Like, he hasn't really had that.
He's the Ric Flair UFC. Like, he talks him into the ring.
Like, Dustin Poirier could walk into the studio and most people would have no idea who he was, and he could walk away and like, that's one of the greatest fighters in the world, but you don't know him. So that's one of, I think, McGregor. It's amazing that he hasn't even had the great, like, Foreman Ali or, you know, Ali Frazier. Like, he hasn't had the counterpart, really, and he still had this kind of career.
We saw the closest thing to it when he was battling Floyd Mayweather, and those guys went on a barnstorming tour and sold a bunch of pay-per-views because they could both do it.
Both guys had to change sports, basically, or find somebody in a different sport in order to get that.
So after the fight, McGregor, laying on the canvas, Joe Rogan talks to Poirier. He talks junk. And by the way, while Poirier's doing the interview, McGregor's giving him lip from the side of the cage, right? He's already setting up the next angle, so to speak.
You broke your leg.
So then Joe Rogan goes to sit down to talk to old Conor McGregor there.
He sits on the ground with him.
He sits on the ground with him. And the first thing McGregor talks about is with Poirier, your wife is in my DMs.
Oh, geez.
And the wife spins around and pegs him the finger right in the middle of the ring, which was great. straight.
Yep.
So everybody in the stands is like, well, they're working for the second one already.
Another one.
Like,
the third one, right? It'd be a trilogy fight.
This
it?
Was the trilogy.
Oh, this was the
and
trilogy.
He got, and so even Dana White was like, oh, it can't end this way, because that guy knows that a bunch of dopes like me will sign up to watch it again.
Well, with the injury, would you? Yeah, I guess you would.
Well, that's the thing is, what is, we'll get into that a little bit later on. But I know I kind of joked about the old guest list, or I mean the celebs that are going to be there, right? When Trump walked out, it was a big pop.
People loved him.
Big pop.
Vegas people loved Donald Trump.
I was wondering how that crowd was going to react. I'll tell you what, it was 50. I would say it might have been like 55-45 men to women. There were a lot of women at that event. Oh, yeah, a lot of women.
Well, I know Kourtney Kardashian was there.
She was, and they got her tongue in Travis Barker. That's right.
Yeah.
There was a Machine Gun Kelly was there.
He's with
Megan Fox. That's right.
They're like the two UFC power couples. They're at every UFC event. It's really odd that they've gravitated towards
Kourtney Kardashian. Looked the way you would expect.
Yep.
And they were all down there talking to Trump, who was trumping it up. RKK, Robert Kraft.
In the house.
Sitting ringside.
Ooh.
And at one point,
like,
you
get blood on him.
You
be
could.
Careful.
Oh, I
Jessica
think he
I
loves
probably
it.
About to bled out.
That's right.
I got some of her brains.
He had the headphones on so that he could listen to, like, the broadcast or whatever. And and then whenever the ruckus came for Trump, there was the whole, you know, shaking hands. They walked by each other, yada, yada,
so could
yada.
You see Trump from where you were sitting?
Yes, you could. He was sitting front row, right on the right side.
Was he there the whole time?
No. He got there after Greg Hardy got knocked out. So,
he missed the best part.
Well, Tuivasa does his shoe thing, right? He's walking down one aisle.
Been great. What if you got beer on those guys?
Oh, it would have been awesome. If he would have done it right by RKK, he looked up and he's dumping beer all over him.
Shoe beer.
So while Tuivasa is leaving on one end, you start to hear the crowd erupt and the light pops on. And then here comes Donald Trump walking down the aisle that the fighters come down. And people try, like all the celebs try to like swarm over there.
So he was just there for the last two fights?
He was there for the last two fights. And it was interesting that they in the arena, they replayed like the UFC open like they would for the pay-per-view. It was almost like they were starting a little bit over again.
Oh, wow.
And then who was there? Of course, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. So, of course, the crowd chanting USA, in part for Trump, in part for Wonderboy, who's fighting Gilbert Burns.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little bit of that mixed in there as well. But, like, Derek Lewis was there.
Yeah.
There's a thing on Instagram where Derek Lewis, who, by the way, is going to fight for the interim heavyweight title in UFC 265 because Dana White is mad at Francis Ngannou. That's how it goes in that sport.
There's a lot of interim belts.
There's a lot
of
interim belts.
In fact, there's more interim belts than there are real belts.
There are injuries and things like that. So there's an Instagram of Derek Lewis, who was in a room full of like all the celebs, where all those people were. They put him in the back or whatnot. And then the camera just goes over to Derek Lewis, who's eating, and he just looks and goes, some good-ass food in here. That's all he cared about.
All right, Derek.
There's like all these celebrities and people, and he's just like, yo, the food is great.
Good spread.
The big three was there as well. Rick Mahorn was on our flight.
Nice.
I thought I had issues getting in an airplane seat.
Oh, no, Rick Mahorn, big fella.
And we were up front, so we had room.
Yeah.
And even he was pushing it a little bit.
Nice.
And we walked out of the hotel once, and not outside the hotel, but we'd come down from the elevators in our room, and there's Tim Hardaway. So we're just walking by, and I just say to
the
my
killer
kids,
crossover.
That's right. I go, there's Tim Hardaway. He turns around with a big grin, looks at my kids, and does the old double point,
double
and
gun.
Just keeps going. So he was like, hey, you recognize me. That's good. It was like one of those deals.
Was it the UTEP two-step?
Something like that. Yeah. Matt Barnes was roaming around. My kids got a picture with him.
He's probably looking for a fight.
He was. Yeah. No one mentioned Derek Fisher's name. Nope.
No.
There's none of that going on.
Yep.
And if like Tatum and those guys came to the fight, no one saw them.
Maybe after you lose to Nigeria, you don't get to go to the fight.
I was just going to say.
Maybe you don't go to the
fight.
Maybe
they got
the
tickets pulled. Trump wouldn't let them in.
Yeah.
You disgrace the country. Yeah. You can't lose to Nigeria. Where is that? You know, the whole nine or whatever. Yeah, you'd be going nuts.
Uh-huh.
But it was, I got to say, it was awesome. And this whole Instagrammer or whatever, Addison Rae.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot about that. John loves her.
She supposedly got hired by UFC. Then went to...
She went on Twitter and said something about, oh,
did
I...
did 3 years of school.
No, three months of school. Of broadcasting prepared me for this job.
She was like Joe Beningo. When Joe Beningo got the job at the Fan, they sent him to Connecticut School of Broadcasting for 3 months and put him on the air. So I think
He did nights for a while, though. He grinded.
This girl was going to be, I guess, on pay-per-view or whatever. And then it was, oh, I got fired by UFC. But however, they showed her in the back walking in.
No, I know. But
so it was a work.
It was. And she has millions of followers. But there's a real problem with this girl, John.
Yes, she got famous by ripping off dances that black creators made, like Elvis, kind of.
So basically, you remember the movie Bring It On with Kirsten Dunst and Elijah Dushku?
That's what she did.
Other people came up with these dances, and then she just did and got more famous because she's hot.
It's like, what's his name? Isn't it the fat Jewish, that guy? He basically just takes like funny stuff from Twitter and like puts it out like as it's his own, and people think like he's
Rex
actually
Chapman.
Funny. He's Rex Chapman. She's Rex Chapman.
And they also showed her like walking in as well. So if she was really on the poop list for UFC, they wouldn't be like showing her walking in the building in the back.
No. They probably love her. But then she claims that she got fired because when she put out that tweet about how, you know, she's been grinding for 3 months and got this job, everybody lost their minds. Like, you got to put in hard work nowadays.
Yeah, right.
So, no, you really don't.
Well, she put the tweet out to a bunch of unemployed broadcast journalists on Twitter. So know your audience a bit.
Yeah, she wasn't talking
maybe
to
save
the
that one
from
for
are
a different
forum. Are you suggesting
forum?
There's angry people on Twitter that aren't living their dreams?
Oh, my.
Are you suggesting that's the case?
Yeah, very much so. It was
that
a,
sounds like a good trip, though.
Dude, it was a hell of a take. And we went to go see Rhode Island's own Matt Franco. I know you love Magic. Awesome.
Good Magic show.
It was
maybe the best.
And I'm not a huge Magic guy. But
even you were blown away.
Oh my God, dude.
Love a Magic
and it's
show.
All close. Like they'll zoom in on his hands. He did one where he's completely covered in a sheet. So because people react to my facial expressions. Completely covers himself with a sheet, puts his hands through the sheet,
and
then
tricks.
Went and did the card tricks.
Oh my God. Like, I could watch card tricks all day.
Seriously, yes. You would have been completely hooked in on this dude.
Right.
Yeah, great stuff. Very much worth it to go see Matt Franco if you're out there. By the way, big movie weekend this past weekend. I know it will be the subject of tonight's Dork podcast. We'll get to that next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I used to have nothing. This family. But nothing lasts forever.
UFC, I'm all over. Black Widow, that used to be someone who played pool.
That's right. She was great. A lot of,
Sonya something or other. Yeah.
She was very, very good.
11:55, Gresh and Keefe here with you. And Black Widow opened this weekend and... So I didn't realize that Disney Plus Premier Access, A, was even a thing, and B, that they're now rolling out movies on that platform where you pay a higher price, and this weekend it netted them a cool $60 million.
Just from that. Just from the at-home people like myself, $29.99. You need the monthly subscription as well.
Of course.
And then you tag that on. So for people who want to wait, it'll be available as part of the subscription. I want to say for free, but you know what I mean. If you're paying for it in 3 months. But it's also in the theater, so they did a little bit of both. It wasn't just an at-home release. It wasn't just a theater release. They did both. And I'm hoping because of how much money they made that maybe they do this going forward. HBO Max already announced this year they were going to put all of their movies, all of whatever their production studio was going to be at home for free and also in the theater. And they were going to do both for this year because this is something that they all stumbled upon because of the pandemic.
It's a whole new world.
Last year, all these movies were supposed to come out, and they just kind of punted a bunch of them. Black Widow was one of those movies that had probably five different release dates, and then it finally got pushed to over this past weekend. They did both. It was very successful in the theater. John went and saw it in the theater. I think it made $80 million domestically, much more even worldwide, and then the $60 million it made at home. Oh, by the way, it was a good movie, but, and we'll do a full breakdown on the Dork Podcast tonight.
That's
it'll be available tomorrow as well for Black Widow, the 24th movie in the MCU.
Or watch it on YouTube.
And yes, follow us on YouTube as well, just youtube.com/Dork Podcast. But I hope they continue to do this. I don't want the theaters to die by any means, but I love the idea of giving people the option of both. And you think about, I talk to Davey about this all the time, where he says for him, if he's going to go to the movies with his two daughters and his wife and him, like that price adds up quick. Or you want to leave the kids at home, it's a babysitter, and then it's popcorn, and it's this and that.
It's $200.
Because $30 sounds like a lot. No, but it's like it's closer to $200 than you think. And then the $30, it sounds like a lot. Like, for one movie, $30. But the convenience of it, I love it.
You can pause it.
You can, and which I did. Like you can, because some idiot was lighting off fireworks again, and my dog was freaking out. So I'm trying to sit down and enjoy it. I have my beers. I have my my snacks. I forget what I was eating. I think it was like chips and salsa. I had that ready to go. I'm like, I'm going to sit down and watch Black Widow.
Chips are a rare choice.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Full-blown charcuterie for a home movie is quite the game changer.
Oh, it's incredible.
Now that I think of it.
You could do cheese plate. You could do whatever you want. You can have.
Sean's birthday plans. We're just presented live on air.
Have a huge dinner and just sit there and be like, just morph it right into the movie. Do whatever you want. That's the best part. Except 45 minutes into the thing, some jackass across the street. My dog starts freaking out. He's trying to climb inside the wall. He's trying to climb above my head. He's freaking out. I'm like, all right, we got to go sit in the bathroom again with this guy. And it's July 10th. Let's light off fireworks. Nothing says July 10th. Like, this idiot probably found a few of them left over in his garage from the 4th. And he's like, oh, we could fire these up tonight.
Saturday night?
Just enough to scare the dog. My dog's on edge for the next 2 hours, which was how long the movie was. But anyway, the movie itself was great. And I normally like the home watching experience, right? Because most people have a pretty good home setup at this point. So give me that every day of the week.
I'm with you.
I'll still go to the theater here and there. But man, I love a nice at-home movie experience.
Now, supposedly it was $200 million to make this film. And they've already done $215 worldwide.
Yeah.
So they're...
And that was opening weekend.
That's
so
right.
You figure that'll probably over the next 5 weeks... maybe double.
Right.
Like this thing, this will
They don't make $100 million when it's all said and done.
Easy. They'll clear $100 million, no problem.
I wonder what Scarlett Johansson's getting on the back end of that.
Oh, there was actually just an article about that. A ton.
Because
she made a ton.
Well, because I wonder how many of the, did the people representing these actors get hip to the game of, it's not just going to be in theaters. It's going to be however we distribute it. We want to make sure we're getting our piece from that too. Like, don't do the old workaround that, OTT isn't covered. It's like,
they absolutely have to. And that might have been one of the holdups too, because there was so much last year of like, when do we release it? Do we just put it on Disney Plus? Do we put it on there for free?
Right.
Because there was two animated movies within the last couple of months. One of them was the $30 deal, Raya and the Last Dragon. And then there was another movie, Luca, that they were like, that one's free. So the people involved must be like, well, wait a minute. How come that's millions of dollars that we don't have? So I don't know how they come up with it. I don't know who's the decision maker or the final call on that, but it is pretty interesting.
Is it good?
I liked it.
Okay.
Yes, I would say it was good. Definitely worth watching. And full breakdown tonight.
There you go. Dork Podcast. By the way, you can find the Dork Podcast on YouTube, at Dork Podcast on Twitter, and download it tomorrow with Rich and Davey breaking down Black Widow. Red Sox wrap up the first half of the year. They make a big draft pick. And Keith's favorite, Dave Dombrowski, defending his spending ways next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.